Welcome to Unyielded, thriving no matter what. In a world of constant change and challenges, it can seem hard to keep up, no matter how hard we run. Yet we all know those people who seem to handle everything with grace and grit. Seemingly, nothing throws them off their game. They are engaged in what matters most to them, they are achieving the success they desire. In other words, they are creating the life they love to live, no matter what challenges and surprises show up. We call them Unyielded. My name is Bobby Kaler, and I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. I mentioned that it's a journey, and you might find yourself anywhere along that path. You may be starting out, you may be mid-career, or considering your next career. You could be an entrepreneur, a salesperson, or you may be that person who just feels like something else is calling to you, and it's time for a change. My mission is to provide stories that inspire us so that when a surprise shows up and threatens to derail us, we will choose to persist. I will also provide practical skills, perspectives, and ideas that will help us create the habits of thriving and flourishing. Because at the end of the day, it is all about providing hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. Let's get right to today's episode. My guest today is anything but one-dimensional. She is a self-published fiction author of four novels. She's a content strategist and the co-founder of Super Neat Marketing. She is a longtime blogger and the host of Love Your Enthusiasm, a self-empowerment podcast that inspires women to pursue their greatest passion. She is also a yogi, ballet dancer, cat mom, and life enthusiast. Her name is Britt Skrbonic, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. So Britt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. I am so happy to be here with you today.
Well, good. And now you live up in, I forget now, is it Minnesota or Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's funny because everybody gets all of the Midwestern states confused.
When
you're here, they just assume that you're in one of the other states. It's the funniest thing. But I grew up in Southern California, and I've lived all over and landed here because this is where my husband's family is from. And I actually really love the Midwest.
Well, and it's funny, Britt, I should know better because I'm originally from Illinois, like Milwaukee. Okay. I went to the Milwaukee Zoo as a kid. So like, I should have known better. And I was getting ready to say, oh, you're from Milwaukee. And then I'm like, no, I just talked to someone from Minnesota.
It's confusing. It's okay.
All right. Well, good. So you're up there in Milwaukee. That's a little bit of a weather change from Southern California.
It is, but I love it because I grew up not having seasons my whole life. And so I love having seasons. I love the snow. I love the fall. Spring, take it or leave it. Spring's kind of a pain in the ass up here because it's kind of like winter continues and then summers are beautiful. So
that's right. Yeah. Spring is almost non-existent, like in the Chicago area. It's like, yeah, it's gray. And then pretty soon it's summer.
Yeah. Milwaukee is practically Chicago. I mean, it's like a 90-minute drive. So there's similar climates for sure.
Yeah. We used to call it Chicago North, which is so like bad, but
I won't tell anyone here you said that.
Yeah. But there you go. So obviously you have a podcast. I loved being a guest on your show.
I loved having you. You were awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I did my best anyway. So I wanted to kind of get to what I wanted to start with anyway. What led you to start your podcast? And, you know, starting with what's the name of your podcast and how did it evolve?
Okay. Yeah. So the name of the podcast is Love Your Enthusiasm. And this was not my intention to even start this podcast in 2020. I had actually planned on starting a completely different business as my second business. So my first business that I've been running for going on 4 years now is Super Neat Marketing. And that's B2B content marketing, totally separate from what we're about to talk about, which is my passion. And so I knew that I wanted to start some sort of passion project. I kind of hate saying that. Business that I was, you know, I'm not saying I'm not passionate about Super Neat Marketing. I totally am, but something that was a little bit more my jam. And okay. So I was going to start a business called Clove Travel and Wellness.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was supposed to launch in 2020 at the beginning. And so
perfect timing.
Yeah. As you can already see where this is going, it was about staying healthy while traveling. And it was a content publication. So there was going to be a bunch of like written articles and a podcast. I had all of these interviews that I had done over the winter last year. And I had all of this great stuff lined up. I had paid writers. I had like 30 articles. I had a website. I had 13 guests that I interviewed for the podcast. I was so ready to rock in January 2020. And then, you know, we had a few delays on our end. And by we, I mean me and my husband, who's also my business partner at Super Neat Marketing. He had built the website for me. And we had a few delays, and February rolled around, and all of a sudden there's these, you know, mumblings about coronavirus. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. And then, you know, soon enough that just escalated. And in March, that was actually March 2020. That was when I was ready to press go on Clove. No. And that was really in the United States, especially when all hell broke loose and we all went on lockdown. And yeah, it was just so hard to digest what was going on, because here I was ready to launch this really passionate new venture and I couldn't. And so I thought, you know, all right, let's see what happens in another week or two, maybe next month. And it just kept going and going and going. And then I realized, you know, by April, I realized I'm like, this is not going to happen. This business is a joke, actually, at this point, you know, talking about staying healthy while traveling in the midst of a global pandemic was completely out of the question.
Yeah.
During this time, you know, from March to April, I actually moved across the country from Portland, Oregon to Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
In the middle of all this.
In the middle of all of this. And the whole drive here, I don't know if you've ever read The Stand by Stephen King or seen the movie, but the drive here was just like empty roads all the way here. And, you know, as me and my husband, our two cats in the van, all of our crap was in there. And it was like the end of the world, honestly. And so Clove and what was going on there kind of took a back seat anyways.
Yeah.
But I did think about it a little bit on the drive, but I knew as we got closer and closer to Milwaukee that it just was a business that was never going to see the light of day.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, it was. It was like beyond disappointing, because it's like, it was my second business, Bobby. So it's like, I was keeping Super Neat Marketing going full speed. And then I spent my holidays and during 2019 working nonstop on this business to get it off the ground. But anyways, once I got to Milwaukee and unpacked all of my things, I realized like this just isn't going to happen. And instead of wallowing, I said, well, what am I going to do next? Like, I don't have to just give up completely. I can do something else. And then I just turned to my husband, Hugh, and I said, what if I do a podcast only and make it all about the Life Enthusiast Chronicles? And the Life Enthusiast Chronicles was a guest series I ran on my blog for many, many years, where I had guests on the blog who talked about what makes them enthusiastic about life. And that was it. It was just like written content and it was wildly popular.
Wow.
And it just made sense. It kind of all started coming back together that I wanted to do something else with the Life Enthusiast Chronicles always. And I've been wanting to do the podcast of some sort for so long. And so they kind of just came together naturally. And especially with everything that was happening with the pandemic, I was like, God, now more than ever, don't we need something positive?
That's right.
Don't we need something meaningful, something to keep us going? And so Love Your Enthusiasm was born out of that failed business. I guess you can call it failed.
I don't know.
It never launched.
It didn't fail.
But, you know, it played off of the Life Enthusiast Chronicles. It also played off of something that people had always told me throughout my life, which was, I love your enthusiasm. Now, Bobby, this is not always said in a positive way.
I remember reading that. I'm like, okay, I have to know. How is it not positive?
Well, you know, sometimes it's kind of like that honorable mention, like you almost got it right. You almost did it right. But I love your enthusiasm.
Oh, no. See, when I read that, Britt, I was thinking, because I'm a very positive person. And sometimes people will say that like, as though it's a bad thing. Like, oh, do you have to be this, like, you're so positive, even this early in the morning. You know, it's like, but why is that bad? So yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. What's wrong with a little enthusiasm? Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of, it was based off of that too, because I've been told that all my life and it's kind of funny.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
But then also, you know, it plays off of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which a couple of people have pointed out, and it really celebrates the opposite of that. It's like, don't curb your enthusiasm, you know, love it, work with it, work through it, celebrate it.
Yeah. And I can hear that, like when you're talking about the second business, you know, because you're busy with Super Neat Marketing. I mean, my husband and I, we've been in business together. I know how hard it is to be a two-person show. So like to say, oh, let's have a second business.
Like, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of crazy.
Well, it could be crazy, or it could just be like, there's something that's really important to you about it, you know? So, and that makes me curious, like, why a second business? What drives that for you?
You know, for me, Bobby, it's always about spending my time doing something meaningful. And at Super Neat, I do so many meaningful things for our clients. It's very much about helping our clients with their businesses.
That's right.
And so that is awesome. But then it's kind of like selfishly, it's like, well, what do I want to do for myself? You know, how do I want to share something with the world that I find truly meaningful, something that really matters to me? And so that was just something in the back of my head. And, you know, I've been blogging since 2012 and I've self-published some fiction as well. That was actually the same year I published my first novel and I've written four. Wow. And so I've always had something else going in the background, a side hustle, if you will, but it was always more of a creative passion. I've never made any money from my personal blog whatsoever. And I'm happy to say that. That's always been there as an outlet, you know, a passion for me. So, you know, you don't have to make money from your passions. You can also just have your passions, but I was ready to take something to the next level here with Love Your Enthusiasm.
Nice. So, okay. So as a fellow podcaster, mm-hmm. I totally get that, because it's when people found out I was starting a podcast, because I'm very busy with what I do, and they're like, do you not have enough to do? And I'm like, yeah, but this is different. You know, have you found, because like for me, like I know why I started it, kind of the same thing. I wanted to share positive stories and how do people thrive, you know, that type of thing. But what I found, Britt, is like, I'm getting so much back from it as well. Do you experience any of that?
Oh God, yes. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I am so happy to have learned what I've learned from the women that I've interviewed on the podcast. I mean, every time I sit down with somebody, it's just like this life lesson extravaganza.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've already gotten a taste of that, Bobby, from running a blog for so long. And there's this beautiful blogging community that a lot of people don't know about. And we've all supported each other and kept in touch over the years and commented on each other's things. And I've got what they call a tribe. You know, there's just a tribe of my own through the blogging community that I can turn to. And I've had like 10 people from that tribe on my podcast.
Wow.
Because I can go to them and ask them for anything, and they will do their best to support me, and I will do the same in return for them. So
yeah,
there is definitely a lot of support that goes into these endeavors whenever you're working with other people or doing something with these like-minded people. And that is just a happy bonus for me. Besides learning things from each other, we're also all supporting each other.
Yep. And you know, Britt, that reminds me, gosh, this was a while ago. I interviewed, I think it was, his name's Tony, and he was talking about, we all need a tribe. You know, one of the things I asked him, and that's what I'm curious about with you too, like, how do you, because I think having a tribe, it's so important. How do you, or how did you find that tribe?
You know, a lot of that, a lot of the people that I met was through WordPress, through blogging itself. And what it was reading other people's blogs, liking, commenting, engaging with the content that you connected with. And that's really how those tribes are built, through blogging anyways. And I think it's like that. Think about it as like networking, or, you know, now there's Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. And so it really does make a difference if you are engaging with other people's content and information, commenting and connecting that way digitally. And I think we all are doing that now more than ever. And you can make really meaningful relationships with people and start to build this tribe. I mean, most of my blogging tribe, I've never met any of these people in person. And until I had them on the podcast, most of them, I never even heard their voices. Which was kind of cool because it was like, oh, this is what you sound like.
Yeah. And then you have those moments like, oh, I didn't think you were going to sound like that.
Oh, definitely. No. And I mean, they all got to hear me first on the podcast, but for, you know, hearing their voices was so delightful. But I also knew their voices from their writing. So it wasn't too much of a surprise to hear the audio match the words.
Yeah. Oh, I love what you just said, that you knew their voice from their writing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's a very distinct voice that everybody has with their writing. Even when you're writing an email, you have a voice.
Yeah, that's really good. So Love Your Enthusiasm came out when you launched it over the summer, right?
June 2nd of 2020.
Wow. That did not take you very long. I mean, really, from the time that you decided no to Clove until the time you did that, that was pretty quick.
It was quick, but I moved fast, Bobby.
I know you do.
But, you know, that was also during the lockdown, too. Oh. And so that was how I used my time during the lockdown, because I wasn't about to just sit around and deal with the unknown of the pandemic. I threw myself into a new creative business, because that's what I needed to do to cope and to heal with everything that was going on. But also, I had some downtime from my other business, Super Neat Marketing, because, I mean, luckily our business has absolutely pulled through, but there was a lot of pausing, a lot of tightening of budgets. All of that happened as well for us at that time. And so I said, there's nothing we can really do about our marketing business at the moment. We are not going to go market ourselves during this time because it is tacky. Like, we're not going to just start, you know, going after new business, or it's just not the time. So we really just waited it out. And during that time, I threw all of my energy into getting Love Your Enthusiasm off the ground, which honestly, all of the mechanisms were already in place, Bobby, because I had planned on starting a podcast and had all those other guests. And I actually went back to the guests that were going to be on Clove first and said, hey, you want to do a take two? You said you kind of wish you had said this or that. Here's your chance.
Nice. That's cool, though. So Britt, as I'm listening to you, God, I've got so many questions. I warned you ahead of time that I'm curious, right?
Well, I mean, for your listeners, they're in for a treat because it's two podcasters. So I know. So much talking. Like,
oh my goodness. So, okay. So the first thing that occurs to me, when you were talking there, you said, you know, for you, you know, to make it through that pandemic, because I mean, come on, the pandemic, it was scary. It was hard. It still is. But you have such great awareness into what do I need? Like, how am I going to fuel my own spirit? Where does that awareness come from?
You know, I was an only child. And so I have half brothers and half sisters, but they were all from different marriages. I'm trying not to go into my whole life story here, but yeah, I've got a very interesting family dynamic, we'll say.
Okay.
So when my parents got married, it was their third marriage for both of them. Yeah. So there was just like other siblings before, but none of us grew up together. So I was really more like an only child. And because of that, my dad actually raised me. And so I just had a lot of alone time. Yeah. And so I was always drawn to creativity. Mm. I'm an introvert, as you know.
Yeah.
But I've always loved writing and I've always loved dancing. And so those were two things that I've done from a young age, just very naturally. So for me, like both of those things are critical to my life, where I always need to create. And by creating for me, that's usually writing. And then I always need to move. And that is often dancing, but also yoga or weightlifting or swimming, like all of those things. I need both of those things to find balance. And so when the pandemic hit, you know, one of the things that happened for me is, you know, dance studios were shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And I only recently came back to ballet classes, and I have been dancing with a mask on which has been really challenging. It's like learning how to dance all over again, not to mention how dependent you are on your breath work, you know, to be able to move, but also to balance.
That's right.
But anyways, I, you know, everything was, you know, taken, all of those joys that I had were kind of taken from me as they were for a lot of people in various ways. But I knew that I could still do things in my apartment. And I had all of these tools that I could launch a new business even during the lockdown. I could really just hunker down and make that happen. Like there was nobody that could shut that down for me. I already had a business shut down. Fine. I'm going to do this one.
Check it off the list. You know, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Very cool. I was not an only child. I have three sisters and we were very close growing up. And some of us were closer in ages, but I always turned to writing and reading. And I loved being creative. So, and I love how you put it, you know, basically, you know, asking yourself that question, what do I need to find balance? And man, it's huge. The other thing that I'm hearing there is you said a few times, you said things like, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to wallow and I'm not going to, you know, like it seems like you made really intentional choices to continue to move forward. Were in those moments, were you aware that those were intentional choices?
Yeah. So I battled with anxiety and depression when I was a young adult. And so I just can't wallow. It's not an option for me. And I do believe that you need to sit with things and address them. Like going back to Clove for a moment, one of the major ways for me to move on from that loss was to sit with it. Mm. And that is something that we really don't do a whole lot. We just like, so I believe in moving forward, Bobby, absolutely. And I did, but I also sat with Clove quite a bit. You know, I mean, there were quite a few months there where I came to the realization that that business wasn't going to happen, including the drive, this creepy drive across the country during the lockdown while I was unpacking all of my things. You know, I had time to sit with it. And so I think that's really important for the listeners as well. Yeah. Everybody lost something in 2020. There's no denying that people lost people as well. And that's a whole nother thing. And, you know, we have to sit and have that mourning period first, and then we can decide what's next and then give it our all. But if you skip the mourning period, if you skip sitting with it, you haven't reflected enough on whether or not you're making the right choice. I think, you know, too, that's really important, because if you just move forward too quickly, you might have regrets, or you might wonder if you could have done something more to save whatever that thing was that you were trying to not lose.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. And I think it's a really tough thing for people, you know, balancing the sit with it long enough and then how, you know, and then being ready to move on. I think that's really tough for people.
It is really tough because it's not something that we're encouraged to do in society. No. Let's be honest. And I was talking about this very topic on my blog recently about sitting with it. And I actually brought up, do you remember the movie Charlotte's Web from like the 70s, like the original one?
Oh my God, vaguely.
Okay, so I remember the Chin Up song, you know, chin up, chin up. Da, 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 da. And so it's like we learn from a young age to move on quickly. Buck up, chin up. Come on, kid.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. And so that really stays with us and that continues into adulthood. Absolutely. You know, whether we're wanting to save face or we want to look good in front of our boss or our clients or whoever, that, you know, you need to get over things and move on, but don't move on too quickly. Like move forward, but sit with it for sure.
Yeah. You know this, but we experienced the East Troublesome Fire, which caused us to be evacuated for 2 weeks from our home. And I'll tell you, Britt, you know, when we left that night and you can see the fire approaching, you know, you're just getting through it. And then we're like, oh, our house was saved. Yay. You know, even though we lost 28 homes in the neighborhood and everything around us, we are an island of everything that's burned around us. And initially we're like, okay, well, we're okay. You know, nothing happened to us because our house wasn't lost. And then my husband and I were talking about it, and we're like, well, if nothing happened to us, why is it that we can't sleep? Why is it that when we see a cloud, our first thought is, oh my God, is that smoke again? And that happened like within the first week or two. And we said, you know what? We're going to give ourselves the grace and the margin to move through this at the pace that's appropriate. You know, we're not going to judge ourselves if we're feeling bad or, you know, whatever that might be. But because I think to your point there, that Chin Up song, that really resonated for me because we judge ourselves like, okay, we're okay. We need to move on. Well, what if we're mostly okay, but we still need some time to just process a little bit more or to feel our way forward? I don't know.
I totally agree. And, you know, it even goes back to, especially in the United States, this is very common where we ask somebody, how are you doing? And then people's responses, they're like canned responses. Yeah. It's always, I'm fine. Yep. I'm fine. Now, I have noticed those responses have changed quite a bit during 2020. Mm-hmm. And we have all, you know, connected, I think, on a much more raw and authentic level as humans. When somebody asks you how you're doing, I'm not getting the I'm fine response. I'm not saying people are saying I'm not fine, but there's actually more of a conversation that has happened. And I think that is a good thing rather than, you know, the canned responses, the chin up, the let's move forward, everything's great, you know, all that.
I'm a trooper.
Yep.
I don't know where I'm trooping to, but I'm a trooper.
Exactly. You know?
Wow. So something you said earlier, and I know this was one of the things I wanted to explore as well. So kind of shifting gears a little bit. You said, you know, you don't have to make money from your passion. And one of the things I know about you, and you've talked about it, you've been a dancer, you've been a yoga instructor, you have your marketing company, you're a blogger. I love the fact that you are not locked into one role. And is that just, I can hear you giggling. Is that something that, like, tell me more about that.
Yeah. So the reason I haven't locked myself down into any one role, Bobby, is because I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life.
I love it.
No clue. Kind of a late bloomer too. But what's great about that is I explored a lot of things.
Yeah.
And this was such a turnoff in the job market back in the day.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah.
Oh man. Like, I mean, people were just like, well, why have you done all of these different jobs? What's wrong with you? Like, why did you leave here? Why did you do that? And, you know, it's just funny. It was like really a turnoff, you know, all these different things that I had done until I got into content marketing. And that was when all of a sudden storytelling was in vogue for every business on earth. And, you know, my author and blog and all that writing experience, even some of the performance that I had done, like that was appealing to people that were in marketing. And because it was like, oh, okay, this person has some life experience and some creative bones in her body. So that works really well in content marketing. And in B2B, you know, we talk about differentiators all the time. And every company wants to differentiate themselves somehow.
That's right.
So I think that's really important for all of us to think about is instead of seeing all of the different roles that you play or all those different skills and experiences you have as being something bad or random, see it as something good as a way to differentiate yourself. Because if we all take a vow of sameness, you will never stand out.
I love that. Don't take the vow of sameness.
Don't do it. It's okay to be a multi-dimensional human being. Now, being a specialist in things, I do agree with that. And I would say that I am a specialist in content creation and also movement as well. Just from all of the experience in my life, I would wrap up yoga and dance and everything as movement. And so it's, you know, I think you still specialize, you'll find some sort of common link there. And that's the thing that you always do throughout your life, no matter what. Like I've always I had a little journal with hearts on it, you know, when
so
I was
did
a kid
I.
that I
oh
wrote
my God.
In. It had the little lock and key.
I couldn't afford the lock and key version.
I guess my parents spoiled me, but they knew how much I loved writing. So they got
me
the really
perfect.
Nice journal for Christmas one year.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, what's so funny about that, Britt, is I was back, you know, I kind of quarantined because my father's having surgery in a couple of weeks and I wanted to get to see him over Thanksgiving. When my mom passed away, we'd packed up and we were going through it. It was amazing to me how many poems I'd written, how many stories I'd written, how many I had even painted for crying out loud. And I'd totally forgotten about that. And I'm like, it really has been a part of who I am. And I feel out of balance when I don't do enough stuff that's creative.
Yeah, the balance is so important. And, you know, not everybody is creative. And I totally understand that. We all have our different strengths. And there's nothing wrong with not being creative. And I think sometimes people who don't have that creative drive feel like they need to, but I'm like, you either have it or you don't, you know?
And here's the thing. For those, they have something else. And I was, for me, I'm not saying I did those things well.
Yeah, you don't have to do them well. It's okay. You just
it makes me happy. Yeah.
Love your enthusiasm, Bobby.
That's right. I have a thing for 2021, Britt. If it doesn't put a smile on my face, I'm not doing it.
Love it. No. Love it.
Because I'm going to be 55 in January. And it's like, you know what? No, if it doesn't put a smile on my face, too bad. There's someone else for it. Okay. So what I'm hearing there is like, you maybe had felt some, I don't know, pressure, but you know, it didn't fit in necessarily. So
I never fit in, Bobby. That's true.
I'm with you. Hey, remember Rudolph, that We're a Couple of Misfits song? That was always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So how did you have the courage to stay true to who you are?
You know, it's a lot of not giving a damn.
Yeah.
You know, it's what it really comes down to. And that's one of the things, my husband hates when I talk about him, but he is very irreverent. And that's something that he really cherishes. And I cherish that in him. And I've learned a lot from him about not giving a damn quite so much. I'm not saying you don't care, but I'm saying sometimes you have to just not give a damn. And so when it comes to your passions that you're focusing on, and if that's your passion, just do it. Come what may, you know, just do it. And it doesn't really matter what everyone else thinks. Like, you don't want to do things, especially if you're doing like this second business like I am. You don't want to do it to please people. You want to do it for yourself, because, you know, I'm doing this on the weekends. I'm doing podcast interviews, you know, squeezing them into every nook and cranny of my day. If you're passionate about something, that will drive you forward. And so I think the courage really comes from the passion, and knowing that even if it's not something I'm ever going to make money from or whatever, that it all ties together with everything that I'm doing. So all of these skills and life experiences help all of us bring more value to the table. So even if things seem like they aren't related, they are, because what they have in common is you. Like, how in the hell are dancing and writing related? Someone might ask. And then I look at dancing as a way of storytelling with the body. Instead of words. And so I think a good exercise for people to consider is to look at the various roles that you play and kind of analyze that interconnectedness, because it's really fascinating.
Yeah, because you're right. On the surface, dancing and writing, it's like, well, how do those? But you're right. They're both storytelling.
Yep. Wow. And dance, you choreograph, right? You choreograph and create these movements to music. And when you're writing fiction, same deal. Like, it's choreography, it's flow. There's a rhythm to writing. I mean, I can get real nerdy, Bobby. Like, there are a lot of, there's a lot of interconnectedness there. And so that's why I think that, you know, this whole idea of being a one-dimensional human being is BS, because none of us are. And so if you really look at all of the different skills that you have, you know, you really need to celebrate those and then use them to differentiate yourself.
Yeah. So I'm hearing there the celebrate it, kind of follow your passion a little bit, and then the don't give a damn. Now that I believe in that. Because I've coached a lot of people, and one of the things, Britt, that God, I've seen it time and time again, they get caught up and what will other people think? And I think it's hard to just say, I'm just not going to give a damn. I mean, so is there anything, how did you cultivate that practice?
Yeah, I think it's natural for us as humans to care about what other people think. And this goes back to that whole tribe mentality, where we all just want to connect with each other on these different levels. I mean, at the end of the day. So by not giving a damn, I guess the way that I really learned that was, okay, here was the realization, is that other people won't care about your passion as much as you do. You can't expect other people to care as much as you do. And if you expect them to, you're in for a great disappointment. And again, it goes back to you're doing what you love for yourself. Now, I think it's great to share what you love with other people and want to connect with other people that way. I mean, I've done that for years, even with my blog. I mean, that's really what the whole thing was about. People didn't even know I was a writer until I launched that blog because I had always written in secret. And then all of a sudden I was publishing everything in a very public place. And the reason why is because at that stage in my life, I was finally ready to share my thoughts with the world. And I didn't know where it was going to lead at all.
Yeah.
And actually blogging led me to content marketing. Obviously I wrote my books as well, led me to becoming an author, and eventually it was led to this podcast. It all started with that blog that I had no idea what I was doing. But you know, there has to be a certain level of not giving a damn whenever you're sharing your creativity, because your creativity is very personal to yourself.
That's so right.
I don't know. I definitely will still fall into this trap of caring what other people think, but I don't think that's a bad thing either, because you know, the things that I'm creating, I want people to connect with it too.
That's
but
right.
I think that being authentic is the most important thing. And you know, there are a lot of people in the world. I think we always forget that. So what doesn't...
You mean there's more than me and my husband?
Yeah. So if it doesn't, if someone doesn't love what you're doing, someone else will.
That's right.
You know, like there's just a lot of people in the world and we have to remember that.
Yeah. I also love, Britt, I think it's really powerful when you said, you know, other people won't care about your passion as much as you do. And that's okay.
It's totally okay. And I especially like, don't give your family and friends any grief or have these high expectations from them. That is so, just don't do it. I've done that before. And that's why I say that. Because, you know, like my mom is a voracious reader and she hasn't read my fiction. She tried. She tried and she couldn't because she's so close to me and it like creeped her out. She couldn't enjoy it. I think she was kind of like nervous, like, you know, like my husband or my dad would get nervous while watching me on stage when I used to perform on stage because they, you know, were like worried that I was going to mess up or they wanted me to do well. And, you know, I'm really putting myself out there in this very vulnerable place when you're performing or you're sharing your work, especially as a creative person where it comes from this really deep, special place. And so you're very vulnerable. And when you're sharing that and your family's involved or close friends, they're rooting for you, but I think they're kind of like terrified as well because they don't want you to
fail. That's right.
They know you'll be heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And I love that too. You're like, don't put that pressure on your family and friends. Cause maybe, you know, there could be a lot of reasons it might just not resonate.
And then it's awkward.
Yeah.
Too, because if they don't like what you're doing, that's also a possibility. Remember, everybody is, you know, has their opinions. And especially once we get into art and creativity, it's very subjective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, look at like, you know, your Netflix or the podcast that you listen to. We all like different things. And the beauty of the world that we live in now is that there's so many content creators sharing all of this wonderful information. So, you know, you don't want to get hung up on that. There is something for everybody. There's a lot of people in this world.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I'm thinking about something. So I know that you love learning and you love sharing things that you learned, right? Are there anything like one or two things that come to mind that you've learned where you're like, oh my God, that was just great?
There's like a billion because I've literally interviewed I've interviewed hundreds of people at this point in my life between all of my businesses. So as a blogger, author, I mean, for Super Neat Marketing, we've done video projects and just, I interview people all the time for written content there. And then now there's the Love Your Enthusiasm podcast. So on top of that, as a writer, when they say writers or observers,
that's right.
It is so true. It's like a gift and a curse. But I am always observing the human experience. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Almost Famous. That's actually one of my favorite movies. Yeah. It's a Cameron Crowe film about, actually it's about his early life as a Rolling Stones journalist when he was like 16 or something and how he went on tour with these rock bands. But it's so funny because he's like 16. I think he's 16. He might've even been younger than that, maybe like 15. But there's this really funny part where like the rock star, he's actually on an acid trip, but he's like, he's taking notes with his eyes. How do we know you're not a cop? And I love that part where he said he's taking notes with his eyes, talking about the young journalist, because that is absolutely what it's like. It's like, you're always taking notes as a writer and observer. However, to answer your question, I did ponder this and thought of a couple of things. So on the podcast, I interviewed one of the bloggers in my tribe, and her name is Raw Avis. And this was episode 16, and her enthusiasm that she covered was forgiveness.
Ooh.
And so this really turned my entire podcast into kind of a different direction, which I really loved. Because as you know, Bobby, since you're on the show, I always ask people what their enthusiasm is, because I need to know what people are going to talk about. Like, what's your passion? And, you know, some people are really cut and dry and they're like, okay, my passion is, you know, writing or fiction or dance or, you know, helping other businesses, whatever. They get more dry about it. And then some people get a little bit more esoteric. And so Ra says it's forgiveness. And Ra is a blogger and an author, but she also was in prison for quite a few years. And so she had this really beautiful conversation with me about the, you know, I actually called it the beautiful practice of forgiveness, and talking about forgiveness being a practice. And one of the things that Ra said, and I went ahead and grabbed this quote for your show, she said, "Forgiveness is very centered inside of you, just like love. It feels like a superpower." And it's just so amazing, you know, for somebody who went to prison and you know, she talked about on the podcast, which, mind you, this is one of the most popular podcasts of all times, because I mean, her name is Ra, R-A, and it's a very raw R-A-W conversation, because that's just how she is. That's also how I am in so many ways. And I loved how she just opened up about her experience. And, you know, when she was in prison, it was so lacking of love. And so she couldn't really focus on love and instead focused on forgiveness. And I think all of us can really learn something from that, from somebody who has been in that kind of place where if we forgive, it's a really beautiful thing. And if we don't forgive, it will haunt us. You know,
it's like
carrying that grudge is so much more work than letting it go and forgiving people, or forgiving yourself too. Obviously, that was a big part of that conversation.
I think that might be the harder of the two, is forgiving yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, for somebody who went to prison, and I'm not going to get into her story, and she doesn't really talk about why she went to prison, which is fine. She doesn't need to. Like, she needs to talk about what she learned, and she's sharing that experience with other people. But, you know, you've got to forgive yourself. And that is one of the hardest things to do. I think it can definitely be easier to forgive other people than ourselves. Absolutely.
And it goes back to, we are our own worst critics all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Wow. That's cool. That's really powerful. And I think that's one of the great things about being a writer or being a podcaster is, I know that I've learned so much by doing these interviews, and it's just fun, you know, it's fun to learn those things.
It is. It's fun. And what I always tell people when they're coming on my show, as you know, as I say, it's an adult podcast. You can talk about anything you want. And they're like, really, anything? I'm like, yes. In fact, don't censor yourself.
Yeah.
Don't censor yourself here. We do that too much. And it goes back to the chin up and move forward and, you know, this persona that we all think that we need to shine forward, you know, be yourself. Like, what is your story? Tell that to me. And I'm so grateful that the people on Love Your Enthusiasm, all these wonderful women I've had as guests, have opened up to me. I mean, I feel honored when they share their stories.
Yeah. Well, Britt, when you were talking there, it reminded me too, does that relate back to that whole, you know, don't take the vow of sameness?
Oh, definitely.
it
does.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Be yourself and all those bumps and bruises, those scars, those wrinkles, like all of those come from a life that you really lived.
That's right. And I think if we can get to the end and we can say we really lived our life, we didn't just exist through it, I don't care what we've done, that's a success.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So one final question. And then we'll get to like how people can learn more about you. But you asked me this question when I was on your podcast.
Uh-oh.
And I know, no, and it's something that you said earlier about being authentic. And when we talked about it on your podcast, you had, I loved the way that you talked about it. Would you share like, how do you view authenticity?
Well, I don't remember what we said, so I'll take it from the top. It might be a different response.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, authenticity, it's really, God, it's, you know, this is what we were talking about. We were talking about, it has become kind of like a buzzword.
Yeah. Where everybody says it.
And it's like really annoying too, because a lot of businesses, it's happened in like the business community too, like make your brand authentic. It's like, oh, come on. I mean, there's some truth to that. Like, I mean, I understand what we're talking about here, but you know, it's really about not being that Instagram image of yourself. Mm. And I always like to say, you know, real life is not just about the party. It's also about the hangover. And yep. So we never get to see the hangover on Instagram. We see the party, but we don't the hangover. Right. And so it's, you know, it's that tropical destination, not the mosquito bites
or the sunburn.
Yeah, exactly. Like we see all these great moments on social media, and that's the danger of social media, of course, like as we're comparing ourselves to these moments that are being shared, they aren't necessarily authentic. I think that's one side of the story. And then the other side of the story is all these wounds and all of these headaches and all of these challenges that we need to overcome. So when you're being authentic, I think it goes back to that multidimensional human being as well. You know, I'm not going to pretend like I don't dance or that I don't write. Like I basically got to a point in my adult life where if somebody had a problem with that or had a problem with my blog, for example, like when working for another company, some companies are funny whenever somebody has a side hustle or has their name on a blog or whatever. And I always knew, I was like, man, I'm like, if this comes up, I will walk, because this is so important to me and this is who I am. If they have a problem with it, with the things that I'm saying on my blog and that I'm saying about myself and about life, I will walk. Like I am not going to work with somebody or for someone who doesn't like or appreciate who I am. Doesn't mean that they have to love what I'm doing. Again, going to that, they may not dig it, but that's okay. But again, like being authentic, it's part, you know, not giving a damn, but it's also just being real and showing the good and the bad.
Yeah. And what I hear, you know, we've only talked a few times, but what I hear from you, Britt, and I hear it in your writing too, is a strong sense of self and also just an unwillingness to hide who you are.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm here on this podcast, Bobby. I mean, I really enjoyed our conversation. And then also I'm like, unyielded could be my middle name.
I'm getting that a lot. It's like, but I think that's great. Because I mean, think about it. You've had challenges. It would have been so easy in March of this year to say, okay, well, my dream of having a podcast is done. No, it's just the dream of having Clove was done at that point. And who knows, you know? So this has been great. I just love talking with you. How can people learn more about what you're doing or your podcast, or how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I would definitely check out the podcast, Love Your Enthusiasm. And there is a website, which is loveyourenthusiasm.com. I would go there, and on the website, you can see all of the episodes and the links to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. What's the other one? I'm totally spacing.
Spotify?
Thank you, Spotify. I always want to say Stitcher because I used to use Stitcher back in the day. Spotify. Spotify's on the rise. Joe Rogan's moving over there, so it's a big deal now.
Ooh.
But anyway, so I'm on all of the podcast channels, on social media as well. And then my personal blog and my website, where I have my written content and where you can find my novels as well, is brittskrbonic.com.
Nice. And I'll put all that in the show notes too. I won't ask you to spell your last name.
And I don't want anyone else to have to figure that out. But yeah, loveyourenthusiasm.com. That's an easy one. And then brittskrobonic.com for everything else.
Perfect. Perfect. And I'll put all that in the show notes. So again, Britt, this has been amazing. Do you have any final thoughts that you wanted to share that we didn't cover?
No. I think it just remember to be yourself and not give a damn, care about people, but don't care too much. And also, if you're going through some sort of loss phase from 2020, which I think everyone lost something, to sit with it and, you know, figure out what you did gain from those losses, because we all gained so much. We learned things about the world and ourselves, and take that with you as you move forward onto the next thing.
That's perfect. That's great advice. So again, Britt, thank you so much. This has just been awesome.
Thanks, Bobby. It was so much fun talking to you again. I trusted you to be this wonderful host, and you are, and it was such an easy breezy conversation. Thank you.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. Here are some of my favorite thoughts from it. Number one, in order to be at your best, ask yourself, what do I need to find balance? And then be intentional about including that in your daily life. For me, that's being in nature. I have to do something every day that gets me out and in nature. That's when all is right with the world for me. Number two, sometimes we need to sit with a loss and then we can move on from it. But if you don't sit with it, and if you try to rush past it, you may end up with regrets. And we also don't get to, you know, complete the experience. And that will cheat us out of the healing that could come with it. Ironically, think of all the messages that we get to either chin up or buck up or move on or be a trooper. And those are all good things at the appropriate time. But we can't rush past the authentic emotion or we will miss the healing. Number three, if we all take the vow of sameness, we can never stand out. It's not just okay to be you. The world needs you to be you. Number four, staying true to who you are requires courage and the ability to put your passion before what everyone else thinks. Courage comes from our passion. Number five, other people won't care about your passion as much as you do. And that's okay. And moreover, if you expect them to care as much as you do, then you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. Number six, if someone doesn't love what you're doing, someone else will. There's a lot of people in the world. What you're doing and who you're being, it will resonate for someone. Number seven, the bumps, the wrinkles, the bruises, and the scars come from a life that has truly been well lived. And number eight, don't be the Instagram version. Be the real you. According to Britt, it has three components that I heard. Number one, a strong sense of self. The second thing is an unwillingness to hide. And finally, care about people, not what they think of you. And I'm sure that you had your own list of things that resonated for you. And I'd love to hear from you what some of those are. Shifting gears a bit, don't forget to check out my free guide on exposing the just wait voice. You know the voice I mean. The one that tries to interfere with you taking action on your goals and your dreams. I put together the guide as a way to help people recognize when they are being sabotaged by that voice so that they can move forward. And the link to that is unyielded.net/goalkiller. This has been the Unyielded Podcast, where we share stories of growth and triumph. If you're finding this podcast helpful, click subscribe and please consider leaving us a review. And maybe most importantly, share it and our positive message with a friend who could use a pick-me-up. Because at the end of the day, this is all about providing hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can be more fulfilled and successful if we choose.